San Diego 1700 from the people who bring you Double X 1090, 105.7 FM, The Walrus, San Diego's greatest hits. Proud to bring you a very fine American, one whose very name strikes fear and irritation into the hearts of many on the left. The man who they assumed would have gone away several semesters back, but there's no chance of that happening. Lord willing, G. Gordon Liddy, the G-Man, joins us from his bunker in Washington, D.C. Hey, Gordon, good to have you back.
It's good to be back, Mark.
Every time I think of you, I smile because you're such a lovable occasional curmudgeon. But, you know, people think, G. Gordon Liddy and all that Watergate era stuff. And, yeah, well, you went and you paid your debt. You did the right thing. You are now such a huge voice for freedom, irritating the left at every turn. But every time I think about beyond just the obvious, I think about that interview we did a couple of years ago where I was in Washington doing the show from Fox News. And you were out on the street, and to just show you how people love you, in the middle of the cell phone interview, somebody came up and started cussing you out just nose to nose in the middle. And you had to deck the guy, didn't you? No, I don't think you went that far. But
no, I didn't go that far.
That's just a normal occurrence when you leave the house in the morning, isn't it?
Once I get off the property, yeah.
That's good. I want to talk about what's going on and all the adventures on Capitol Hill and bailouts galore and all of that. But first, I thought, you know, having the G-Man on, G. Gordon Liddy, it'd be great to talk about the fear factor, because we've been told for a year that, you know, it's miserable. We were told a year ago we're in a recession, and then some of the same people in the last month have said, okay, now we're really in a recession. So you have that going on. And I thought, here's a guy, G. Gordon Liddy, who has faced fear. You wrote about it in your famous best-selling book, Will. I mean, you tackled fear head-on as a kid. Relay a couple of stories. I think you got the rat story and then the thunderstorm, strap yourself to the tree story, which I think there are lessons here for everybody facing fear head-on and going, you know what, I'm still going to have a good day.
Well, yeah, I thought that I, at the time, that I had invented the wheel, but actually it's a well-known tactic to psychologists called desensitization. The thing you have to remember about it is that it doesn't work immediately. You can't just face a fear one time and have mm-hmm. it disappear. You need to do it repeatedly, and then it'll go away.
But you would, you know, if you had a fear of rats, you'd basically get a hold of a rat and kill it and cook it if necessary. And, you know, maybe you have a fear of thunderstorms and lightning, go out there and strap yourself to a tree and get used to it.
Well, yes, although that... strapping yourself to a tree in a thunderstorm is probably not an advisable thing.
But it seemed like a good idea at the time, and it was, as they say, for you, character building?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there any character other than you and a couple of other friends of ours, any character left in Washington right now?
Yeah, there's character left in Washington. The question is it good character or mm-hmm. bad character?
Yeah, well, it's the old line that Cal Thomas uses. I'm not sure if it's original, but he always says it is, which is there are people with convictions in Washington. The problem is many of them are in prison. So, but
right.
I want to tell you. So what do you make of what's happening right now? It seems like every time that Secretary Paulson comes out and speaks, people do get more fearful because sometimes he looks shocked and surprised at what's going on, and then there's a shift in gears. Okay, we'll throw some billions over here. We'll throw some over there. You got the bailout of the auto business being talked about and debated, and Republicans trying to slow that down right now. So what are we to make of all of this? Does anybody have a handle on this? Is it all trial and error?
It's pretty much trial and error.
Oh, that's good.
Paulson, of course, came from Goldman Sachs, and, you know, he's taking care of his own. The Bush administration views the $700 billion bailout as exclusively for the financial industry, because they view the financial industry as a utility, just like, you know, an electric company or something. You can't let all the electricity go out. But that is very distinct from something like General Motors or Ford. For those, it's really best to let the market work its way. It happened with the airlines. I think there were three or four airlines went into bankruptcy, got reorganized, came out pretty healthy. That's what we need to do with the Michigan auto industry. It's another thing you've got to remember. When we talk about the American auto industry,
mm-hmm.
We're not talking about the big three. We're talking about the big three plus all these companies from Japan and Germany and elsewhere who are busily manufacturing good cars that are selling well using American labor.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is that the place that's in trouble is Michigan, not the United States. It's Michigan. It's sort of Michigan against Alabama, if you will. And if they could just let General Motors go bankrupt, reorganize, get rid of all of those ridiculous union agreements that a foolish management signed on to a long time ago.
Now, you know, when people hear you say this, G. Gordon Liddy, they're saying, well, now this is going to mean 3 million jobs are lost. I mean, that's kind of the worst-case scenario. It means the reorganization part is something that people aren't talking about.
Yeah, they're not going to lose the 3 million jobs or anything else. I mean, they will lose jobs, yes, but those jobs will probably be lost anyway because, you know, the government keeps making Detroit produce cars that the government believes the American people ought to drive. The American people don't want to drive them. And the way the government has been doing it is through the CAFE rules, you know, the fuel economy rules. And so you get less and less safe cars because the lighter they are, the more dangerous they are. And that's what they've been doing. The Americans, you know, like bigger cars. The trouble is if you buy General Motors for the government, nationalize it, in other words, mm-hmm. then they will command that they make a whole bunch of Priuses or something,
yeah.
and nobody's going to buy them.
It's interesting. You look at what's going on with Michigan and the auto business and all the other things there, and Jennifer Granholm is the Democrat governor there. She's one of the rising stars, and I'm trying to figure that out because under her leadership, Michigan has gone the wrong direction. So she's now a higher-level advisor to the Obama administration. I'm not sure that's calming.
Yeah, and her idea is the worse the economy gets, the more you should raise taxes. And of course, the Great Depression of the 1930s, which I lived through, mm-hmm. The big error was following the crash of 29. They did two things that were 180 degrees wrong. One was to raise marginal income taxes, and the other was to engage in protectionism through the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. And that's being proposed again, and I guarantee you if it's adopted, it'll have the same effect.
G. Gordon Liddy with us, the G-Man. Is your website under construction right now? I've been trying to pull it up here.
It is. It's under construction right now. With the Radio America is taking over the management of it.
Oh, my. Was it a hostile takeover?
No, it's a very friendly takeover.
Are you still able to get the annual calendar out there to help the troops and all that? Is that happening this year?
Not this year, no. We got so involved in all the politics with the election and what have you that we just never got around to getting a calendar out for 2009.
So when the website is up again, it's going to be liddyshow.com. I guess.
Oh, yeah, it'll be the same thing.
A very fine Law and Order website. I got to ask you about this. One of the headlines today involves Medvedev, the fun-loving, what would he be, the puppetee for Putin. Putin is supposedly the number two guy, and this is his heir apparent, and now Putin's saying he's going to run again anyway because the rules don't apply to him. But we're hearing that Medvedev is going to go and visit Cuba and Venezuela. Is it just me, or do I feel like we're back in 1962 all of a sudden on some fronts?
Well, on some fronts, maybe, but what it is with, you know, Medvedev is going to, serve out his term, which is a short one, then not run again. Then they're going to change the Russian constitution so that the new term is 6 years, and Putin will then run for that, and he will be in charge. Formally in name as well as in reality. Right now, he's in charge, but not in name.
So how much do we fear that alliance or that rekindled alliance? And he's doing all the photo ops with the goose-stepping parade folks again on Red Square, and you've got certainly the Cuba connection. Hugo Chavez is no friend of ours. He's, I guess, the one to really worry about. How do you see all of that aligning?
Well, remember, I don't think we have terribly much to fear from Russia, because the Russians are not crazy. They're, you know, Putin is not Ahmadinejad.
Yeah.
And Russia's population is shrinking, and it's aging. And
well, now they've also had kind of a, yeah, but they've had sort of a fire sale. I don't know that it was out on eBay, but they've actually sold some of the old stuff, some of the military equipment. Now maybe some of that's just long in the tooth and rusted and not exactly ready. But we don't know where a lot of the weapons that they've had have gone in the black market, do we?
Well, we've got a pretty good idea with that they've kept under control the nukes. The nukes are being kept under control. They know that they can't afford to let those things get loose into the hands of the crazy people. The other stuff, it is, as you say, it's older stuff. And, you know, now that petroleum mm-hmm. is between $50 and $60 a barrel, that has hurt Russia, and that is hurting Venezuela. Remember, Venezuela's oil is not sweet crude. It's very thick, heavy
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're going down there and they're sort of congratulating each other. But I would not fear them.
G. Gordon Liddy with us here on San Diego 1700 AM. With the Obama administration, the president-elect, and what's anticipated for Inauguration Day, what's your hunch? Is this going to be more of the, as they say, center, centrist type, maybe a little center-left, or is it going to be Bill Ayers' radical time once everything aligns?
No, I think that Obama is smarter than to allow himself to be pushed off the left side of the cliff. He won't make the mistake that Clinton made by getting himself into frolics and detours like don't ask, don't tell, that sort of stuff.
And Miss Lewinsky.
And Miss Lewinsky. No, I don't think there's going to be any of that. So what he'll do is he'll address, you know, the big issues. But we really have to watch out, because one of the things that they're going to address is health care. And you got to remember when that comes up that that's really just a vehicle for them getting dominion over us and lessening our liberties. If they don't want us to have a choice as to where we're going to get our health care from, or, you know, what kind of a deal we're going to make with providers and so forth, they want to have dominion over all of us. They mm-hmm. decide. And what that means is your life is going to be in the hands of bureaucrats instead of your doctors.
Well, that's encouraging. It's like going to get your spleen removed at the post office.
That's about right.
Right. Well, G. Gordon Liddy, always a pleasure to talk to you. Appreciate what you're doing out there to support the military, and you got a fine family, as you know. And some of them live right here, progeny, right here in San Diego County.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my son, Ray, my youngest son, he's a full bird colonel in the Marine Corps.
Yep,
and he's also a deputy AG out there in California.
We see him around once in a while at all the right events.
Yeah, well, and his wife is vice president of Merrill Lynch, and they live there in San Diego.
Well, we'll put their portfolio up on the website here later so people can see how that's been doing.
No. Okay.
You know, everything's transparent now. Thanks, Gordon. Good to talk to you. God bless you. Stay healthy, all right? And watch your back. Watch out for the crazies.
Thank you, sir.
All right, take care.